In Catholic school, the teacher had asked the children to draw a picture of the flight into Egypt. Some kids drew Joseph, Mary, and Jesus on the donkey and with pyramids in the back. But one child drew a picture of an airplane. And there were three figures in the back and one in the front. The teacher said, "Who are these figures?" And the little second grader said, "Well, in the back, that's Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, the Holy Family." And the teacher says, "Who's that fellow up front?" The kid said, "That's Pontius, the pilot." In today's gospel, we have Jesus talking about something that Pontius Pilate did. He committed a massacre. He slaughtered innocent people. And so, but before I want to address that, let's go first to the first reading from the book of Exodus. Because in this first reading and in the gospel, they're really about the mystery of suffering. Why does God allow bad things happen to good people? Why does God allow suffering in life? And I'm sure it's a question you've thought about as well. So look first at the first reading, and it has to do with Moses, how God calls Moses, and he calls Moses to lead his people out of slavery, out of Egypt, into the promised land. God says, "I have heard their cries. I have heard their suffering. I see their affliction. And I'm going to choose you, Moses, to be the one who will bring them out of this suffering and out of slavery into the promised land." You remember the story of Moses. Moses was born at the time when Pharaoh had decided to kill every male child of the Jewish race that was born. Moses' mother secretly gave birth to him, placed him in a basket, gave the basket to Moses' sister, who took him down to the river and hid his Moses in the basket in the reeds. And eventually, he was discovered by none other than Pharaoh's daughter, and then raised up to be, of course, a great leader of the people. So we could say that he is the first basket case ever to do great things for God. And God often uses basket cases to do his will. And so Moses then was chosen by God to go up the holy mountain, where God revealed himself in the burning bush. And Moses said, "Who are you?" And God gave his name, "I am who am. I am the one who existed and always will exist. I am the true God of Israel." And so then God would tell Moses he'd had to go to Pharaoh. And then God, of course, would give Moses eventually the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And Moses would chisel them in stone tablets. So Moses is said to be the first person ever to download data from a cloud onto his tablet. So Moses was way beyond his years, way advanced in technology. And so, but notice how God used Moses to help the suffering people. Now let's go back to the gospel. What is Jesus talking about Pontius Pilate? Well, as you know, Pontius Pilate was the procurator of Jerusalem. He was the sixth procurator. He reigned from 26 AD until 36 AD. So for 10 years, it was a lousy job. Nobody wanted to be in that God-forsaken place called Jerusalem, out in the middle of nowhere in the far ends of the Roman Empire, with the rebellious Jewish people and all sorts of challenges and difficulties. And Pontius Pilate, if you read about him in history, was a very cruel, harsh ruler. He did things often to upset the Jewish people. He took money from their temple treasury and built an aqueduct in Jerusalem. He placed Roman statues throughout the city, which offended the Jewish people, having these, you know, Roman gods. And whenever there was a big mob or a large group of people, he would often send his soldiers out. Well, in today's gospel, some people came rushing up to Jesus to tell Jesus about a current event that had just happened, some breaking news that Pilate had committed a massacre. He slaughtered some Galileans who had come down from Nazareth, from Galilee, to worship in the Jewish temple. And they, of course, would bring their lambs and their goats and their oxen to be slain and to offer the sacrifice. But it says that Pilate ordered a massacre. And it says the blood of these Galileans was actually, you know, poured onto the ground and mixed with the blood of their own sacrifices that they had brought to offer to God in the temple. And if you want to see a powerful movie, watch the movie called The Young Messiah. Came out 3 years ago, very powerful. And it has a scene which really depicts this event where soldiers would gather around and they'd have their cloaks covering their weapons. And when the mob would be there, they would throw off their cloaks and do these terrible killing of these innocent people that had come to worship. We got a very powerful movie called The Young Messiah about Jesus as a child. But anyway, Jesus says in response to these people, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans?" See, that was sort of the Jewish mentality, that if bad things happen to you, you must be a great sinner. That if you were poor or weren't healthy or that maybe you were a great sinner and had somehow offended God. But Jesus says, by no means. He says those who died in this massacre were no more guilty than anyone else. But what does Jesus say? "But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." So what is Jesus saying here? Well, he's saying all of us are going to die. And whenever we hear of tragic news, of floodings or hurricanes or natural disasters and those who lose their lives, it should make us reflect, are we ready to meet the Lord? Because so many people die so suddenly of disasters and natural tragedies. And Jesus is saying the people who die in those things are not any more sinful or guilty than anyone who survived. It's just, it should remind us though, Jesus says, "But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And then to reaffirm this, Jesus gives another current event that had just happened. He says, "Or those 18 people who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them." And so obviously the construction workers were building this temple, and it seems that there was an earthquake or poor construction, and the temple collapsed. The Tower of Siloam fell on them, and 18 of these workers were killed. Jesus says, "Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem?" Jesus says, "By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." Obviously, we're not going to perish by having a tower fall on us, but we will all die. So I think Jesus is making the point, and this is why this reading is always during Lent, because Lent is a time of conversion and repentance, a time to go to confession, a time to always make sure that we're in the state of friendship with God, in the state of grace, to always be ready for whenever that time will be when the Lord calls us home. We have confessions coming up. We have 21 priests coming on April 8th, our biggest crowd ever. Usually we get about 16 or 17 priests for the Lenten penance service. We have 21 coming Monday night, April 8th. Mark your calendar, come, make a good confession, and always be ready to meet the Lord. And I think the Lord in today's gospel clears up something about, you know, the mystery of suffering. And we can think, well, why does God allow suffering? Why does God allow bad things happen to good people? Like these Galileans or these workers on the Tower of Siloam. Why does God allow that? And of course, the answer is God only allows suffering to bring about a greater good. That's the reason. God allows suffering to bring about, ultimately, a greater good. And the most perfect example of that is the crucifixion and death of our Lord. Why would the Son of God be horribly crucified on the cross? What a terrible suffering that was. Why did the Heavenly Father allow it? To bring about a greater good. Our redemption, our salvation, to open the gates of heaven. If you want to read a good book about the mystery of suffering, read C.S. Lewis's book called The Problem of Pain. I read it in college, just read it again last week, because it's very good. C.S. Lewis says in the book that there are different reasons why God can allow suffering. Sometimes it is to get somebody back on the right track. C.S. Lewis says that suffering is God's megaphone, sometimes to get a person's attention, to get them back on the right track towards heaven, to off a path towards hell and onto a path towards heaven. And some examples would be Saul of Tarsus, who Jesus appeared to, and Saul was converted in the midst of his suffering. St. Francis of Assisi, St. Ignatius Loyola. These great saints were converted by suffering, God allowing suffering into their life to get them back on the right track. The prodigal son's a good example. He had everything, but he went off to a foreign country, lived a life of sin and immorality, but then the famine hit, and he was starving. And God allowed that suffering to allow him to think, I will get up and return to my father. And he went up and was restored to his home. But lastly, there's another reason why God allows suffering, and that is to sanctify us, to transform us, and it's called redemptive suffering. God allows suffering in our life so that we can bear more fruit, we can become holier, that as gold in the fire is refined, so suffering is a way of refining God's loved ones. It's a way of sanctifying them and making them holier. I saw this in my dad's life, the last 2 years of his life, with the sufferings he went through, that he was already, I believe, very close to God, but God allowed even more suffering to make him even closer to God, make him even holier. What should we do in times of suffering? Remember, the nuns gave the greatest advice when we were little kids. Three words: offer it up. You ever hear that? You say, sister, I have a toothache. What would she say? Offer it up. Sister, I have a headache. Offer it up. What does that mean? Unite it to Jesus. Offer it up, and no suffering is ever wasted. I just finished Tim Tebow's book. Tim, of course, a great Christian athlete. He was a Heisman Trophy winner, played in the NFL. He wrote a book called Shaken about his different trials and difficulties that he's experienced in his life. And a very good quote in that, he said, no suffering will go to waste. God will not even waste one drop of suffering. It'll all be done for his purpose. So Jesus gives us the answer to the meaning of suffering. He doesn't just give us the answer, Peter Kreef says, Jesus is the answer to the question of suffering. Why did Jesus suffer? To bring about a greater good, our redemption. Why do we suffer? So God can bring about a greater good in our life, so we can offer it up to the Lord, and he can use it to transform us into the saints that God wants us to be.